Tonight, you folks at home and we here in the Coliseum will watch history in the making. The first game ever for the Minnesota Timberwolves.
The fifth pick in the 1995 NBA draft, the Minnesota Timberwolves select Kevin Garnett from Farragut Academy in Chicago.
And the Minnesota Timberwolves are going to the Western Conference Finals. Happy birthday, Kevin Garnett.
Sent reunited with his former coach Tom Thibodeau in Minnesota.
4.7 seconds. Gibson's got to get it in. Does. Wiggins drives across midcourt. Andrew lets it fly at the buzzer for the win.
From Morgan's Farm to Table Studios, located on County Road 42 in Nicollet and Burnsville, featuring six local farmers. Taste the Difference, award-winning. This is The Howl. The Howl is brought to you by our wonderful supporting partners, Rhymesayers Entertainment, the pinnacle of underground hip-hop worldwide, Studio 23, where passion reigns supreme, and Isabel Street Heat, adding a bit of spice into your everyday life. I am the Too Tall of the Radio World, your host, Kevin Draves. To my right, Aaron Gobra Groshong, the producer of the show, and to my left is none other than Rob You Blind Hess. He is the jack of all trades for the show. Our first half show features a rundown of the Wolves week that was and look ahead to the upcoming schedule. We will also have our talkers segment covering everything Wolves, NBA, and WNBA. How much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? It's time for The Howl. Quarter one of The Howl. As always, this is where we break down the Wolves week that was. Take a look to the week ahead. Now, guys, the Wolves had three games that we are going to be covering here this week. As we record, the Wolves currently play the Memphis Grizzlies, so we'll break that down next week's show. So they played the Washington Wizards, the New Orleans Pelicans, and the OKC Thunder. Three very interesting games, and all for completely different reasons. Let's start with the game against the Washington Wizards. Guys, this was a game that I think all of us are in agreement on, that the Wolves just let it slip away from them.
And ugly game too.
100% really. Ugly game. The Wolves led for, I want to say, 95% of this game. And to come out with a 3-point loss.
And you're right, they really did.
I mean, this was a more or less domination of a game. I mean, the Wolves led by almost as much as 15 at a couple different points through this game. And the Wizards, not only the Washington Wizards, but the Washington Wizards without John Wall. It's not like John Wall had a 40 game.
No, we're missing, to be fair, we are still missing Teague at this point.
Yep, that's true.
We're missing Bielitsa still. So there are downsides. But I still think on the surface, we should be better than them. You're still with your best players. Yep. Like they're missing their best player. We have our best players because I don't think that Jeff Teague is so good. He should be the difference maker in a game like this. You should be able to win it.
Yeah. And you waste some really good performances. Towns 20-17. Taj Gibson 16-11. Jimmy Butler 17 points, 10 assists, 7 rebounds. I mean, three incredible performances, and we'll get into this a little bit more later, but how good has Taj Gibson been playing lately for us?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Arguably the most important player, just what he brings to the table. Because I don't know that anyone else brings what he does to the table.
He's the ultimate glue guy on this roster. I mean, you take him away, I think it puts all types of stresses on everybody else down the line. And you could say that. I mean, yeah, you pull out Towns, you pull out Butler, but Taj just has that special feeling of team MVP at this stage in the season.
Especially when Bielitsa's out. He's your only, I guess, true guy that truly plays the power forward position currently. That makes it that much more important that you need
him. And the Wolves from him. I mean, the Wolves out rebound slightly better free throw percentage. They shot a little bit worse from three and a little bit worse overall from the charity stripe. But I mean, this Wolves team, I think they do their best when they win the rebound battle. And we've seen time and time again that when this team gets out rebounded, they end up getting blown out. Now, it was only a 3-rebound difference, but the Wolves won the rebound battle. This was a game that they really honestly should have won. And you don't turn
the ball over very much.
Yep.
You were solid there. Now, 5 of 15 from Wiggins. That hurts.
Well, guys, I think it was the second quarter where Jody Meeks caught fire. He just turned into a little flamethrower. And he had a very solid game. And I've been talking about Meeks for a while, you know, back when we were absolute bottom barrel three-point shooting, as bringing him onto this roster because, you know, he had some injuries. His value was down. You know, the Wolves were up big in the first quarter. They really had it together. It was the start of the second quarter. Wizards go on a run. The trouble about this game is, for the most part, the Wolves controlled the pace. It was the Wizards playing catch up, and you lose it right at the end when you just can't have that happen. I get it. It's early in the season, et cetera, et cetera. But this is a tough loss for me. I don't like the season is too valuable in terms of building and going into the future and whatever we're going to do this season. I think it's critical that the Wolves hold on to a 3 or a 4 seed. I would love them to keep pace and hold that 3 seed. We've fallen back. This is a game that we're going to look back at the end of the season and say, boy, it'd have been nice to have that. You never know. 1 or 2, maybe 3 games come the end of the season, that could cost you a difference between a 3 and a 5 seed.
This is a game too. So for anyone that doesn't follow us on Twitter, make sure that you do at the Howl Radio. So we actually made a video of, there's 4 minutes in this game that Shabazz Muhammad played, and that's it, just 4 minutes. And there were a bunch of people that said the reason the Wolves lost is because of Shabazz Muhammad's 4 minutes, that 4 minute stretch. So Shabazz was a -9. So we actually broke down and actually edited that 4 minutes into video. We actually, the link is on our Twitter, or we actually, if you look it up, it's on YouTube. So you can actually watch those 4 minutes. And I'm telling you, Shabazz Muhammad barely has anything to do with the game. If you watch those 4 minutes, Karl Towns is absolutely terrible. So I should, anyone that did not watch this game, if you want to just get a quick snippet of this game, watch those 4 minutes. It's, and obviously since it's 4 minutes, it's a pretty short clip. There's not a whole lot to watch, but I will say this, the bench as a whole was bad in this game. -13 for both Jang and Jamal Crawford. Now Shabazz is -9 in those 4 minutes. So granted, as a team, we didn't play well in those 4 minutes, but I just think the bench needs to be better if you're going to win basketball games. And we'll talk about this in some of these next few games that we talk about in this stretch. But in this specific game, the bench really struggled.
Well, I'm going to say one more thing about this, guys. And I think, is it fair that we move on to the next game?
I think we should. Yes.
Okay. With that being said, this is a prime example of when you have a team that is undermatched. You know, the Wizards missing John Wall, their key player, a cog in this offense. They're firepower on the offensive end, less Bradley Beal. You leave them in the game just long enough for them to believe. You get in the fourth quarter and they're looking at it like, hey, we're only down 6, only down 4. It's tied. That puts a lot of pressure on the team that feels like they should win the game. And then we saw how it unfolds. So this is a prime example of, you need to close out the games that you need to win. And this was exactly that. The Wolves should have walked away with the victory. Instead, they let the Wizards linger. And there you have it, a 92-89 loss for your Minnesota Timberwolves.
And I think we all predicted this would be a win.
We did.
We were all very, very confident in this being a win. So. The Wolves then basically, I mean, they had to move right away and get to that next game. I mean, and this isn't an easy schedule. You go from a gut-wrenching loss like this, a game that you should have won against the Wizards, and you got to turn around, travel to New Orleans, and play Boogie and AD and the New Orleans Pelicans. Now, every time that you match up with the Pelicans, I don't think you're going to get as lucky as to see Anthony Davis get ejected.
And to go, mind you, to go crazy, for anyone that watched this game, I couldn't believe how mad he got. It looked to me like he was going to throw down. He was going to have at it. I think it was Kenny Maurer, if I recall.
Surprise.
Who hasn't wanted to punch that guy in the face, first of all? But you see players get mad sometimes, but I don't know how many guys have gotten that mad. And I thought the funny thing was, the voice of reason in all this was somehow DeMarcus Cousins.
It's amazing. This tips off the week of the superstar being kicked out of the game.
It does.
LeBron James, Anthony Davis. Who else, Rob? I'm missing somebody.
Shoot, you're right. There's one other guy.
Oh, Kevin Durant.
Steph Curry. Kevin Durant. Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, it was a bizarre reaction. Clearly, it got under his skin, right? Elite analysis there. What I can tell you guys, and my biggest takeaway from this was, you're on a back to back. You just had a tough loss. I love the answer, right? I thought that the Wolves did a good job putting this one away, especially at the end. I don't know. I mean, I just feel like we could have been in serious trouble given the matchup, right? I don't like how we match up with our bigs. But again, the Pelicans have no wings. But really, from the second quarter on, it was full steam ahead for the Wolves, and they were in control the rest of the game.
You know why they won this game?
Tell me, Rob.
There's a few different reasons. Let me just break down a few of the things. If you watch this game, number one, Karl Towns is actually in foul trouble. He did not play a lot. Gorgui Dieng put together arguably his first good game of the season because he has not played well. But he gets 36 minutes. You get 19 points from him. 1 of 4 from three. So, you know, he was active. He was doing stuff. 6 rebounds, 5 assists. So when you're going to win a game, you need guys doing things they don't necessarily normally do. And in this instance, it's Gorgui playing well. Now, add to that, Andrew Wiggins was phenomenal. 28 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, only 2 turnovers. You just don't see that often. You really don't. And then this was, like I said, Towns only played 20 minutes. He was in foul trouble. He had 6 turnovers, so not a great game for Towns. And I think we can all say going into this game, I don't think anyone predicted Towns would be that great. He tends to struggle against some of the bigger players in this league.
Yep.
I picked this as a loss. I know I didn't think we'd win.
He didn't have a good game against the Pelicans the last time they played him.
He just struggles against centers, like big centers.
Well, this game for me also marks the next two games for Towns in terms of matching up with bigs. It doesn't suit him well because we saw what happened with Adams, and we'll get into that Thunder game. Towns has got to do some soul searching here on the defensive end. I'll get more to it in the Thunder game, but I'll let you guys keep going here on the Pels.
Yeah. You know, the one other thing I'll mention is when you're up by a large amount, the nice thing is Jimmy Butler only had to play 32 minutes, which, you know, doesn't sound like a big deal, but when a lot of the games you're talking about him playing more like 40 minutes, this is big to give him a little bit of a break.
It was great to see. And I actually, when the Pelicans game was going on, I actually had a basketball game myself. So I missed basically the whole game, and I missed Anthony Davis getting ejected. I was able to watch it. I'm surprised he actually didn't get any punishment from the league. Cause if you watch the video, when he got ejected, he actually like made his steps towards the ref. And if it wasn't for, I don't even know who the wing was, but it looked like maybe Holiday or somebody stepped in and kind of like held him back. And then Boogie came up.
He got fined, didn't he?
I believe so, but he should have. I mean, it's one of those things like he took some hard steps towards that ref. And
yeah,
like,
a little surprised he wasn't suspended.
That's border. I mean, with what they suspended Sean Livingston for, Davis is lucky he did not get a suspension.
Yeah, I agree.
But after the collapse Tuesday night.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but a suspension is loss in game pay. So, I mean, that's a massive fine for a player such as Anthony Davis.
But still, you take a step or two towards that ref in anger. I mean, watch the video again. He was incensed.
And that's like the size of a modern home. Like, I mean, I think one game pay is like 300 and some thousand.
Then don't make your steps towards the ref.
The last thing I want to say on this before we move on is another thing I think is a key to why we won this game, which is Shabazz Muhammad did not play. And for anyone that knows me, that's my guy. But
Rob is the biggest Shabazz.
I've talked about this on Twitter. I've talked about it on our show. He's not used properly here. And if you're only going to throw him in for 5 minutes or, you know, 4 minutes the game before, he's not going to be able to make an impact in the game positively like you'd want him to. He needs to play more minutes. If he's not going to play those minutes, he just shouldn't play. And I thought this was a good job by Thibs to not play him. He should not play on this team if he's not going to get major minutes.
Yeah. That's enough said right there. Mm-hmm. Wolves win this one 120-102. They get a nice little day break, and then they take on the OKC Thunder, where the Wolves have been 2-0. I believe 2-0 already against the OKC Thunder, which I think has been the most surprising for me. Aaron, when we first started the show back 3 years ago now.
Yep, three plus.
One consistent thing that we had, and then when Rob came in, he joined in on the same sentiment, is no matter where the two teams are in their records and how they're playing, these two teams always seem to play each other at a pretty elite level and give each other the best game possible. And we've seen that with game winners and everything like that. And it's been surprising to me that the Wolves have started 2-0 against a newly revamped OKC Thunder with the additions of Paul George and Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah, I look at the Thunder as really one of our rivals, right? It's a division opponent.
Yeah.
You know, Rubio hits a game winner against him. Kevin Love hit a game winner.
The Kevin Love game where him and Barea went off.
Yeah.
Watch those highlights if you haven't. That was just a fun game. Yeah. Even if you don't like Barea, and we don't, that's a cool game to watch. Goes into overtime. So you're right. We've had some kind of historic games against them.
And another franchise that always comes to my mind as a rival is the Los Angeles Clippers. You know, Kevin Love hit another game winner against them. I feel like we've been in some nice battles with them. Mm-hmm. But the Thunder are really my true rival team in our division. Kevin, to your point, the Thunder, they've rebuilt the roster. They've revamped it. They have superstar power all over the place in that starting five. It gets a little thin after that. But, you know, Jeremy Grant is a solid player.
Role player. Look at what he did against the Wolves, and you would think that he's a top 10 forward in the NBA. I mean,
well, we unfortunately have that problem of making some of these guys, the ancillary players on a team, look like absolute studs. Now, I wanted to get into, like, I wanted to rip Karl Anthony Towns, and that's rare that I say that, but I want to challenge him. Somehow he needs to find, you know, his inner Kevin Garnett.
I thought you were going to say inner Kevin Draves.
No, his inner
like
Kevin
him to get better.
So you don't want him to get tired after 7 minutes of running up and down the court and need a break.
Guys, Steven Adams, perfect from the field, and he was getting beat down the court. It's unacceptable. I'm sorry.
He boxed out. How hard is it to box a guy out?
Hold on.
You guys, you're kind of stomping on my take here because you keep interrupting me. I'm telling you, look at this. Karl Towns, there was a play where he has a choice to stay with DeAndre Jordan or go guard a non-three-point shooter in the corner. And he picks guard the non-three-point shooter in the corner. For what reason? You know, you let that happen. You stick with DeAndre because, you know, DeAndre's going to catch it. It's a dunk. That's an IQ issue. That's losing track of what's going on in the play. And I just expect more from him. And I think he needs to be held to a higher standard than most. He's a great player. I'm not taking anything away from that, but I tell you what, his defense, I haven't been impressed with for some time. And I'd be surprised if he's actually impressed with it. I think unless there's something happening where he's becoming fatigued and that is creating an issue, and I could easily see that being an issue. I just expect more and I want more from him. And I can believe that he does as well, but Towns has to step it up. He's a key component.
And you and I watched this game together, Aaron. And I don't think two things happened when you and I watched the game that I don't think have ever honestly happened when you and I have watched a game together. We both made multiple comments on how bad Towns looked, and we both made multiple comments on, wow, how is Steven Adams playing at this level? 27 points for Steven Adams on 11 of 11 shooting. I mean, this was a game. The Wolves were down 21 at one point. And I remember my dad called and I was talking to him and he's like, oh, how are the Wolves doing? And I said, well, they're down 21. And my dad laughed. He's like, yeah, that sounds about right now.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's just this up and down nature of this team has been so incredibly frustrating. On the plus side,
Jeff Teague,
Russ doesn't get his triple double. Carmelo is under 10 points. Somebody named Nick Collison got to play.
Didn't you think overall this was a good game, though? I left this game going, I actually thought the Wolves played pretty well. It's a tough game, and it's always tough to beat a team a third time.
You take away the other stat that I saw is the Wolves gave up, what, like 40 points in the first quarter. They were on track to put up 160. And then the next two quarters, 42, they gave up 40 points in the next two quarters. Yep. So, I mean, obviously something finally clicked, but you take that first quarter, you cut that even 10 points, in half, and this is a completely different game.
I needed more from Wiggins in this game. I think
100%.
And the bench, you know, I will say this. I thought Jang played well. The plus minus doesn't show that, as it shows him as a minus 16. This is a good example of where single game plus minus is not a good stat. You want to look at it long term, because I thought Jang played well. But Jeff Teague, I saw people ripping Jeff Teague, and we're going to talk about this in the second quarter, but I saw people ripping Jeff Teague. I'm going to take Jeff Teague's stat line. Yeah. Like, on a given night, I'd like more points, sure.
But he just came
four
back
or five
from a,
shooting?
He just came back from an Achilles injury. Like,
10 assists, a plus 9? I'm sorry, but if you're going to rip Jeff Teague, I just don't know what you want.
And you're guarding
from a guy.
Russell Westbrook.
I just don't know what you want from a guy.
The one player that I was super happy with, even though his stat line isn't the best, is Taj Gibson. 9 points, 4 rebounds. But I think
4 turnovers isn't great, but he led the team in plus minus.
Yep. And he's
a lot
been
of good
that,
second effort kind of tip.
Yeah. I've been so impressed with his play. I think he's been such a great signing.
Wiggins, though, was kind of like the last year's Wiggins, where you get some points, but that's about it. I mean, 1 assist, 3 rebounds. We need more from him. We need 3-4 assists. We need 4-5 rebounds. And I don't think I'm asking too much to want that.
That's spot on. You're not. That's absolutely. You hit the nail on the head, man. Last year's Wiggins. Because what did we always say? You would forget that he's even in the game.
Got to do more.
There was moments you're like, is he even out there? Oh yeah, there he is. I see him.
Like if you're the only starter that's a negative, you've done something wrong.
True.
Yeah, basically. So Wolves lose this game 107-111. Remember, you are listening to The Howl here on Dash Radio's Nothing But Net channel. This is our first quarter review and preview segment. Now, the Wolves had a nice little day off return home to play a potpourri of a team, a shell of a team, if you will. The LA Clippers, no Blake Griffin, no JJ Redick, no Jamal Crawford, no Chris Paul anymore.
So you're
Blake Griffin's
this is a cakewalk.
So
right?
this is one of those games for me. It's like, man, you got to win by 20. I mean, I saw the starting five that they put out, which was what, Austin Rivers, Wes Johnson,
Austin
DeAndre,
Rivers, you mean Michael Jordan.
Yeah, I mean this was a brutal game for the Wolves. They got the win, but by a lot of people's reactions, you would honestly never know. And we would not have won if it wasn't for Jimmy Butler's what, 20 points
in
the fourth quarter.
I will say this. I don't think the Wolves played well, but my goodness, some of the shots the Clippers were hitting, whether it was Lou Williams or whether it was Rivers, they were hitting some deep threes.
Half of the team points between Austin Rivers and Lou Williams, 53.
I mean, it wasn't exactly like we didn't play a great game. That's the bottom line. But the Clippers hit some ridiculous shots. Even when you play defense on them, they're hitting rainbows. They're hitting like half court heaves. It seemed like
this game was eerily similar to the Wizards game in the sense that they just kind of kept around. And I'll tell you this right now. If Jimmy Butler doesn't put the Wolves on his back and just say, you know what,
game over,
because he was just taking it out and bringing it all the way down the court every time. liked his odds. I mean, he was going at DeAndre, which is probably one of the toughest guys to go at. And it was fantastic. That's the guy I wanted to see in that Heat game when we, you know, were fizzling and we needed some type of spark or energy. That was the version of Jimmy Butler I wanted to see step up. He couldn't get it going in the game. This game, he catches absolute fire. This is why you want him on your team. This right here, this is a loss if it's not for Jimmy Butler. Let that be known.
100%.
Okay. Now, I want to talk about one other thing, and this was a play involving Towns and Montrezl Harrell. Did you see this? Towns, he's trying to post up. Montrezl Harrell basically gets away with an elbow to the groin area, and Towns just goes to post up in his like shoulder muscle because Harrell is lower and his face is into him. His face gets bumped. And this goes to, I've said this a couple times this season, this whole touching of the face business and having it be reviewed and is it a flagrant or is it not? So, I mean, now ridiculous. I remember it was a couple seasons ago when the NCAA made this rule, players at the end of the games were purposely sticking their face in there to try to get contact, to get a foul called on the offense. Players, you're going to see this more and more. Mark my words right now, as the season plays out, it's going to be a factor in the playoffs because now you're going to be dealing with more intellectual players. They will be putting their face in there more, trying to engage in these type of contact plays, and it's going to happen because all they got to do is, hey, touch my face.
My favorite is by far when you go back to, we talk about flops, the Chris Bosh flop.
Oh, yeah.
Where the elbow like swing, and then he just throws his head back like a good like minute, it seems like, after it actually happens.
What about the Marcus Smart flop?
Which one?
Yeah, right.
The most, my favorite one is when he goes up.
He just throws himself
yeah. off the court, basically. Yep. There's one in a Turkish league, too, where the guy basically like throws the ball at the dude's head.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
And it hits him in the head, and you can legitimately count to three before the guy goes, oh, and like, so, all right, Wolves get the win, 112-106. It's not pretty, but we'll take it. A good win after a rough loss always is a good thing. So let's look ahead now to the three games that the Wolves have upcoming. A quiet week for this team, and I think that's the best thing. Get some of that rest and recovery and get ready for a grueling week period. So, they play Memphis. They're currently playing Memphis while we're recording here down in Tennessee. Guys, this is a game. Memphis is trying to find its identity after firing David Fizdale. They've been having a lot of problems. This is one of those games that, like the Clippers, the guys need to win.
I know it's early in the season and you shouldn't really have must win games, but to me, this is a must win game. That's how I feel.
Remember earlier when I talked about Anthony Davis, if he gets suspended for a game, he would lose $289,000 for that game.
You go at a ref, though, you know, there's that.
Oh my gosh.
Don't go at a ref and then you won't have to worry about it.
So what are we thinking for this game?
It's got to be a Wolves win.
It's got to be a win.
I'm going to pick a win.
I'm in for a win.
In for a win, Kevin.
All right. Next game is a rematch with the Clippers, this time in L.A., on Wednesday at the Staples Center. This is a game you can find on ESPN. So later this evening, if you're listening to this on Wednesday, you can turn to ESPN, a 9:30 Central Time start, and watch the Wolves take on the Clippers. I'm going to start it off. This is a win. We won on Sunday. There's no reason why we shouldn't win again. I think the Wolves now having a sense of who this team is, even though I don't think the Clippers have a full sense, I think make the proper adjustments. They win this game by 10 plus.
I'm going to go 20 plus. I think that they see, actually, no, you know what? I'll go exact. We're going to win by 18 points.
Nice job, Rob.
Because we feel, you watched that game and Jimmy Butler was mad after that game.
He was.
We had to outscore him. We didn't play defense. Jimmy Butler's not going to let that happen again. I think the Wolves go, we're a much better team and we need to show it.
And they have an availability here in the schedule to really hone in on defense, because I think they can get away with some mistakes against these teams and try to refine some of the inconsistencies we're seeing. Now, let's keep in mind this game, yes, it's on ESPN, but if you want that home cooking coverage, go to Fox Sports North, listen to our people, Jim Pete and Dave Benz on the call. This game, the Wolves, I think, do take the win. I don't know if we get the double digit win. I think maybe like an 8 or 9 point win, but I'm going to call it a win nonetheless. So that's 3-0. All of us are calling a Wolves win here against the Clippers in LA.
Yeah. So then the next game is Sunday, the 10th against the Dallas Mavericks. Once again, this is a win for me. Yeah, I'm not scared one bit of this team.
Yeah, we don't need to dive into this. This is a win.
Yes.
All right. So we're all going 3-0 on the week for this team. And that's good because they need a lot of momentum going into, like I said, a pretty rough stretch of 5 games in 8 days for the Timberwolves. So we are going to get into the second quarter, but first, make sure you visit Studio 23, where passion reigns supreme. The 1996 Chicago Bulls are a team synonymous with winning and with the idea of greatness. This year, Jordan Brand pays tribute to the greatest NBA team of all time with the all-new Jordan 11 Retro Win Like 96. Now, they release Saturday, this coming Saturday, the 9th. The Win Like 96 features a very highly anticipated all-red colorway. The sneaker is dressed in a gym red upper with black Jumpman branding, a white midsole, and an icy outsole, perfect for the upcoming holiday season. As MJ's teammates are fond of saying, MJ never lost. He either won or learned. Don't lose out on this drop. Studio 23 will carry a full family of sizing from infant on up to men's. Now, coming up, quarter two is our Wolves Talkers segment. We've got a lot to cover, so you're going to want to stick around for that. But first, one of my personal favorites. This is I Wish by Skilo. As we hit intermission, you're listening to Dash Radio's Nothing But Net channel. This is The Howl.
I'm always last to be picked, and in some cases never picked at all. So I just lean up on the wall, or sit up in the bleachers with the rest of the girls who came to watch they man ball. Dag y'all, I never understood black, while the jocks get the fly girls, and me I get the hood rats. I tell them scat, skittles, kabobble, got hit with a bottle, and sit in a hospital for talking that mess. I confess it's a shame when you living in a city that's the size of a box and nobody knows your name. Glad I came to my senses, like quick, got sick to my stomach, overcome it by thoughts of me and her together, right? So when I asked her out, she said I wasn't that type. I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit and a hat with a bat and a 6-4 baller. I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit and a hat with a bat and a 6-4 baller. I wish I had a brand new car. So far, I got this hatchback. And everywhere I go, your wife gets laughed at. And when I'm in my car, I'm laid back. I got an 8-track and a spare tire in the back seat, but that's flat. And if you wanna know what's really whack, see, I can't even get a date, so what you think of that? I heard that prom night is a bomb night with a hood ratchet and old type of Rito. Figaro, when in my car, I can't even get a hello. Well, so many people wanna cruise Crenshaw on Sunday. One day I'ma have to get in my car and go. You know, I take the 110 until the 105. Get off on Crenshaw, tell my homies look alive. Cause it's hard to survive when you're living in the concrete jungles and these girls keep passing me by. She looks fly, she looks fly. Make me say, my, my, my. I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat and 6-4 baller. I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat and 6-4 baller. I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I was a little bit taller, y'all. I wish I was a baller. I wish
I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. Hey, I wish I had my way, cause every day would be a Friday. You can even speed on the highway. I would play ghetto games, name my kids ghetto names. Little Mookie, the Al, Lorraine. Yo, you know that's on the real. So if you down on your luck, then you should know just how I feel. Cause if you don't want me around, see I go simple, I go easy, I go Greyhound. Hey, you, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Ah, yes, ain't that fresh? Everybody wants to get down like that. Wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat and a 6'4" baller. I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat.
Quarter two of The Howl here on Dash Radio's Nothing But Net channel. This is our talker segment. Again, that was Skilo with I Wish, a top 10 sports themed rap track of all time, I would say.
Sure thing.
I think we all wish we were ballers, don't we?
We do. We do.
Some of us wish we were a little bit taller.
Yeah, I'll take that too. Actually. Yeah, that's true.
I'm actually mad that I'm 6'5". Well,
if you would have been 6'11", you literally would have been Cole Aldrich. Yeah. So there's that.
Yeah. People tell me I look like him.
Well, you do.
I get it. I get it.
And
a
your
lot.
Games are like identical.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I mean, hey,
that was meant. That was not an underhanded compliment.
I'll take a third of what Cole Aldrich is getting to sit on the bench for the Wolves. So,
yeah.
Tibbs, if you're listening, I can get some good minutes in.
Two or three quarters. I will say, I bet you're the kind of guy that has a rabbit in a hat with a bat, though.
And a 6'4" Impala.
Right?
Yep, absolutely. All right, let's start with the Howl hot takes. So let's go fire out the gates. Rob Hess, this week's Howl hot takes.
So they weren't as hot this week as they have been in some instances. But I will say, we actually had to call out an entire website this time. So shout out to Duncan with Wolves, at Duncan Wolves FS. They tweeted, everyone going to the Timberwolves game tonight, chant, we want DJ. They said, retweet this to spread the word. This is obviously prior to the
Clippers game.
So, of course, the first person says, well, what do you want to do a trade? What trade are you looking for? And actually, now that I'm reading this, they actually deleted some of their tweets. So that's always nice. But I was like, well, how exactly do you plan to trade for him? And the reason I said that is because he had tweeted out something in the lines of, you know, we should trade for him.
So he said he has a player option for next year. So Minnesota would probably want him to agree to an opt-in. And then you said, and how exactly do you plan to trade for him? And his response, I don't plan to trade for him. I just think it'd be cool to see the fans chant that. Now, props, first off, just scrolling down, props to at, I think it's Moline,
oh,
1106.
Friend of the show, actually.
So he says, rather chant, give the ball to Cat in the fourth quarter so we can have a chance to win, and for God's sakes, play defense the entire game. But I'm guessing that is too long and it'd be hard to get everyone on board.
Which I came up with now I'm a big Jeff Teague fan, but I thought the perfect chant would be something about Jeff Teague maybe dribbling a little less in the fourth quarter. I think that'd be, so I said, Teague, dribble less, your handles are a mess.
I like that.
Right?
I like that.
Crowds could cheer that. But regardless, I found the whole thing pretty amusing that the Dunking with Wolves guy is like, oh, I didn't actually want to try. I just thought it'd be fun to chant that. For what? Why? Like, for no reason?
Get yourself an amateur hour.
That didn't make any sense to me. Okay. The whole thing is a little goofy. So that's the first part anyways. The second part, I don't know if any of you guys saw this. So we're all aware, obviously, how good Donovan Mitchell is. So Donovan Mitchell actually liked a tweet from June where someone said, Donovan Mitchell has bust written all over him. Nothing like an undersized, bad decision-making guard who can't finish at the rim. Now, I'm actually going to call out not the guy that said this tweet. I'm going to call out Donovan Mitchell because he liked the tweet. You know, first of all, don't search your name and look for the haters. If you're going to do it, though, take the time to actually read the tweet before that, which said the exact opposite and about how Donovan Mitchell was going to be like the greatest player ever. So the guy was basically just saying, look, this way I have all my bases covered. Well, Donovan Mitchell only reads the one. And so this guy's getting obviously lit up a little bit for having this, what people think is a bad take. When if Donovan Mitchell and all these people that jump on him would have taken 2 seconds, you would see that he literally just said all the options. So I found that kind of funny.
Well, Donovan Mitchell can most definitely finish at the rim. I mean, he's got some amazing highlights.
Right? Oh, yeah.
He can fantastic. Leap.
Yeah, I'm not worried. Here on the show, we are big fans of him around draft time. So yeah. I'm not surprised he's
I think the Nuggets
out.
Are feeling trading away that pick for Trey Lyles.
It, the whole thing's a little goofy. Well, if you saw the I saw the GIF or the image where they talked about how the same thing, it was basically the opposite of the Rudy Gobert trade. Because Rudy Gobert was technically drafted by the Nuggets and traded. So it's kind of a, they got their, it's kind of a goofy deal there. The last person on the Hall of Hot Takes, George Hill, who sent out just a bunch of pictures of angry face. And I appreciated one of the first comments on Twitter was someone saying, well, you could have been with the Wolves, but you said you wouldn't play for Thibs. So don't complain now that you're with the crappy Kings.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, he was a guy wanting tons of money. You know, I think that it hurt his options in the market. And guess where he ended up? In a place where you knew you weren't. I mean, if you're the Kings, why would you be starting him when you have De'Aaron Fox? He's out of his mind. I don't understand. I don't feel bad for one bit. This is what happens when you get greedy. Agreed. This is exactly what you get. So kudos, George Hill. Maybe you can dye your hair blonde again. I don't know.
Can I add to Howell Hot Takes?
Oh, always.
This is off the cuff. But so I was going through. There's a Facebook group that I am a part of called NBA Talk. And it may be filled with some of the biggest homers I think I've ever met, not just Wolves fans, but in general. So my post is a gentleman by the name of Swahi, who's a Suns fan, whose only post on what would this be here? Technically Thursday night, Thunder will trade Westbrook by All-Star break.
Yeah, it's a take.
It's a hot take. So of course I just saw this and responded with one of my favorite memes that I think I own, which is a fast food worker. And it says, here's that attention that you ordered.
I like that.
And everybody else.
I thought you were going to say that kapow.
Oh, no. Yeah, I do like the kapow.
That's
one.
The best one.
Everybody seemed to be in agreement. What is that Goodell?
Oh, yeah.
No, it's just some kid.
Oh, I thought it kind of looks like Goodell, but there's like
it's famous. It's fair.
Yeah. Yeah. The blinking, like seriously the
disbelief
gif. Yeah. So, not alone in that, but I can't believe there's some people that think that Russell Westbrook is going to get moved.
It is what it is.
Yeah. You have to trade a whole team to match salaries.
Oh my gosh. So let's move on here to the G League power rankings. The Iowa Wolves, will give you the update of the Iowa Wolves because they actually are, I want to say, one of the first ones on the power rankings. Yep, they are 25th in the Iowa or in the G League power rankings.
Not ideal.
They are 2-6 overall in the season. The little note about them is the starting five for this roster, which is Melo Trimble, Elijah Millsap, Perry Jones III, Anthony Brown, and Emile Jefferson, has the talent to win games. Coach Scott Roth just has to find a way to utilize their skills to produce wins. They currently have a tie for the second worst record in the G League behind the Salt Lake City Stars.
I will say this. When you look at all those players' games individually, it does seem like a very, you know, kind of mashed up team, right?
Yeah.
You would never ideally say, hey, I want to put all these guys on a team because their skills complement each other.
Mel Trimble's been solid this season, though. He's had some really good games. Emile Jefferson's put up some pretty good ones. You know, he had 19 and 15 recently against Texas. You've got some pieces, but yeah, you don't have a team yet. I mean, you got blown out by Texas 125 to 100. I mean,
but if I'm not mistaken, the Legends are one of the top teams in the G League.
But did we honestly expect this team to be good in its first year with an NBA affiliate? Like,
yeah, but that's not, I mean,
don't think that matters.
Yeah, that
so
doesn't
much,
really matter. It's just about having good players. I mean, you look at the best team, though. Here's a good example. The best team of the South Bay Lakers, and they have a guy that we've long been fans of, Vander Blue. Part of it is just getting good players. But I think part of it, to your point, Kevin, is maybe having some chemistry.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to take a little bit of time with these guys.
I expected more, though, I think.
Did you?
I like the players they have on their roster. I think, like we talked about, Melo Trimble's really solid. If you were to tell me that we were going to get rid of Aaron Brooks and make Melo Trimble our third guard, I'd be like, yep, yeah, I get that. Makes sense to me.
What's do we want to talk about expectations for having Justin Patton with the Iowa Wolves?
And, he needs to have the same
what do you want to see
as the other guys we've sent down there. So Tyus Jones dominated. Shabazz Muhammad dominated in the G League. Or I guess at the D League at that time.
Yes.
Justin Patton needs to go down and he needs to absolutely destroy guys.
Do you really think that's possible?
Why would it not be possible?
I mean, possible, anything, but
he's going to get minutes. You know, I think they said the soonest he'll probably start playing would be Friday. I don't know how many minutes he'll get because it's almost like a rehab assignment.
Yeah.
Not going to get major minutes, but the minutes he plays, I'm saying, I want him to play really well.
So, yeah, I mean, you have a foot injury. I'm expecting stamina to be low. If you play a lot of minutes, I think that's a lot of stress on a foot. I'd like to maybe see him be eased in versus say, hey, here you go. Here's catch 40 minutes and see what happens. You know, maybe that first game, he maybe plays 20 minutes or so. But I think
would be 15 or 20. They're going to ease him into probably major minutes. I do think before.
So what you're looking for is effectiveness.
Yeah.
Is what you're
and before he comes up to the Wolves again, I do want him to start some games. So I'm thinking he'll probably be down there probably 2-3 weeks at least and give him a chance to, you know, get his feet underneath him. And then maybe start maybe 2-3 games just to kind of get some major minutes, produce, and then he can come back up to the Wolves and participate in, you know, practice, playing against these big name guys. Now, we've talked about this before. I don't think Patton's ever going to probably play a ton of minutes this season for the Wolves themselves. But you can't discount being with the team on road trips, practices, that sort of thing. I think that's a good learning experience for a rookie.
Most definitely, Rob. And I tell you what, it's not beneath anybody when you're a first round draft pick to be effective in the NBA. Donovan Mitchell, we just got done talking about him. I mean, here's a mid round guy. Fantastic. You'd say he's up in the top one or two players for rookie of the year outside of Ben Simmons. It's possible. And how big of a boost would it be for this Timberwolves roster to have a key contributor such as Patton?
It would be nice. And I think the biggest thing that we need to keep in mind is, you know, there's no rush for Justin Patton. There shouldn't be. Let me ask you this. Does he play when he comes up to the team? Cause I mean, I think we can all agree that having him brought up to the Wolves is inevitable after a couple weeks, but
before the season,
what do you guys think his plan is?
Well, here you go. I mean, before the season started, when I found out the injury and the surgery he had, I was okay with him essentially not playing at all this season and really focusing on getting stronger, bigger, refining NBA post moves and defensive schemes, really dive into the team culture and try to work with some of the players and the coaching staff and just become a better basketball player and give that foot solid time to rest. Because here's a big problem. If that foot is re-injured, now you're talking a major, you know, a possible major setback to start your career. And, you know, pardon the pun, but, you know, getting off on the wrong foot to start your NBA career is not what you want to have happen. You know, if he has a setback, he could be looking at a second surgery. And now you're having all sorts of cartilage maybe or scar tissue issues. I'm not a doctor, but I'm just saying, I just know having multiple surgeries in the same area is not a good thing. So foot injuries in big men always concern me, because I've seen that go sideways too many times. So that's what I think. I am in no rush for him coming back. If the coaching staff and the medical staff feel he's ready, I'll trust that, because I think we have one of the best medical facilities in the NBA. I think we have a fine staff on hand, coaching and otherwise. So if they say it's good and he says it's good, I'm all for it, but I'm in the conservative territory on this one, guys. Quarter two here on the Howl. Yes, you're listening to Dash Radio's Nothing But Net channel, where all things basketball occur. Guys, we're in talkers. What do we want to get into next?
I got the perfect talker here. All right. I want to see if you guys come up with the same answer as me. So all-time starting five. So we've got this picture here. They go guards, forwards, big men. You pick two guards from the list, two forwards from the list, and one big man. Again, I personally think this is super easy, and I think it's a no-brainer, but I want to see what you guys think. So what is your five guys?
Can I go first?
Sure.
Magic, Jordan, LeBron, Bird, Shaq.
What are you thinking, Kev?
You know, this is tough for me. I got to go with MJ and Kobe, Vince Carter and LeBron, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Interesting. Definitely not as cut and dry as I thought. So for me, I go Jordan Westbrook. I agree, I go LeBron and Larry Legend, and then I go Shaq. I just think
so we just flip-flopped on Westbrook versus over Magic.
Which Magic was the other Magic was my original pick, and then I was like, you know what? Westbrook just does so many things. Not that Magic doesn't.
God, this is tough though. Like for me, especially for the guards, there's five guys that you could really pick from.
I think the forwards list is kind of crappy. I don't think it's that. I mean, these are all really good players.
Well, where's Wilt? Where's Wilt Chamberlain in this whole mix? You know,
I mean, it's not a good list.
Yeah.
Don't know. Like, for example, like when you're looking at big men, Dirk's not a big man, like not in the sense that all these other guys are.
Well, here, let's give the listeners a taste of what we're looking at. Sure. So the big man choices are Dirk, Hakeem, Kareem, Shaq, Duncan, Garnett, and Ewing. All good choices, but I have to say, outside of Kareem and his skyhook, which was unstoppable in his prime, Shaq is the most dominating force on this.
By far. Right?
Him in his prime, if he got the ball in position, you either had to foul him or he was going to make a basket. He was going to score.
Yeah, I mean, that was the hack of Shaq. Like the start, you know, and then there was Hack of Jordan. I mean, Hack of Shaq started it because of his dominance.
And then our forward choices are Vince Carter, Pippen, who would be my third choice on this list. Durant, LeBron James, Larry Bird, Tracy McGrady, and Paul Pierce.
Not bad.
So Larry, because I mean,
it's Larry Legend.
Yeah,
that's just it is what it is.
Pippen would have been my third choice just because I think outside of LeBron, he's the best defender on that list.
The defense is what I took into account. So I agree. I think Pippen's one of your next choices.
The best
Durant probably.
McGrady could be up there.
Vince Carter.
And then for guards, you're looking at, we have Steve Nash, Dwayne Wade, Steph Curry, Magic, Jordan, Kobe, Russ, and AI. best two-way player is obviously Jordan on that list. You know, Russ and Magic, yeah, they're right there.
Like I said, like on the guard list specifically, there's five that you could go with and still be just fine, and that's Magic, Jordan, Kobe, Westbrook, and AI.
Yeah, I was going to say, you definitely can't go with Wade.
No,
you can't.
I like Steve Nash, but Steve Nash for me is seventh on this list.
Between Jordan and Magic and LeBron, the defense that's there is unbelievable. You know, if you were to somehow put Pippen on there, Bird's defense was no slouch, and then Shaq's as well. I mean, that's a fantastic defensive team. You know, imagine Steve Nash guard Magic Johnson. He'd get destroyed.
It's not happening.
You know, even... You know, AI would get destroyed by him. Russ would put up a fight. Kobe would. Steph, I think, would do all right, but if he backs him down, he's toast. And D-Wade, I think, would do all right, but it would be a slam dunk for Magic. Jordan, we already know, can score on everybody, so it's whatever.
Yeah, this is a good conversation to have. I mean,
You know, I love these little things.
Who you would have in your all-time top five? I mean, because everybody's got a different opinion, everybody can vouch and make it a valid argument.
It's kind of like, you know, you see, like, here's $10. This guy's worth $3. This guy's worth $2. This guy's worth $1. Yep. Build your best team for $10 or whatever. It, those are always cool. It makes you wonder. It gives you some good compare contrast. Is there anybody on here you just think kind of doesn't belong of the mix? Of the guards, I'd say
Dwayne Wade.
Mm. Dwayne Wade just, I don't know. I don't see him in the same conversation as these other guys.
Well, he's not an MVP.
Nash, though, I know that he's an MVP, but I still just, but like, that, I'm not picking him.
He was special, though, man. I mean, offensively,
he was super special.
A guy of his size to win two MVPs and have the seasons he did.
You can't pick him over these other guys, though. I would actually probably pick him over Dwayne Wade only because he's so special on the offensive end, whether it's shooting, setting other guys up. It's a toss up between which one of those guys I would probably put last.
Yeah, this is a tough one. I think at least in the forward section of things,
Paul Pierce
is the one that I have an issue with.
He's not in the same conversation as the other guys. Nope. See, the truth hurts.
And I'm surprised too, because VC would have been my choice out of that list of guys that I could have.
He's right there too. I agree.
Supplanted for another player.
I mean, I couldn't imagine anyone would actually think of picking him.
that's the Rob Hess cheap shot right there. Speaking of things that don't make a lot of sense, Nerlens Noel.
Oh, I love this.
Got a did not play coach's decision. And at halftime,
he got hangry.
He got a little
get angry.
He quote unquote needed some energy for the second half of a game that he would not play. So he went to the media dining room and got himself a hot dog.
So ridiculous.
I hope he took his shoes off and did that, because I have this like weird thing where I can't wear my basketball shoes off the basketball court.
There is actually a picture, because a gentleman said, legs. Bro, are you serious with those legs? Is wearing his basketball
shoes.
He's
built like an armchair. Like, seriously.
Those legs look like they could snap in a strong breeze.
Right? I mean, that's not a joke.
And the one guy responds to this. He goes, wants max deal with minimum legs.
Yes. Phenomenal. There was some talk that we've been interested in Nerlens Noel. Now, first of all, let me just say, how about too little too late? Remember the deal we got offered that he was included in on draft night, the Chris Dunn deal?
Yes.
Like, if you wanted Nerlens Noel, that was the time to get Nerlens Noel. Although now he's got like no value.
We dodged a bullet.
Boy, the Mavs have had some ugly breakups. You know what I mean? You know, go back to, remember Rondo and Carlisle.
DeAndre Jordan?
Yeah, you know.
He'd sign there and then.
They've had some weird breakups with players, whatever,
which is too bad, because they have arguably my favorite owner. I love Mark Cuban. Yes. I really do.
Well, there you have it, folks. When in doubt, reach for a hot dog, see what happens.
Here you go. So before we move on to the next one, real quick, great to see Rudy Gobert is back practicing. He was available for the Monday night game against the Wizards.
Yeah, that's big.
Helps my fantasy team out immensely. Great to see, but glad to see that he's healthy and coming back. Let's get into a couple more big men. This was a great thing to see, the kind of back and forth between Joel Embiid and Andre Drummond ahead of their game against each other. This is something I think the NBA has been missing, is these kind of vocal rivalries between players. And it's, you know that it, and we saw at the end of the game that it was all love between the two, that they do have a lot of respect for each other. But just talking that game, I mean, Drummond says, you can't really have a conversation with a man who can't play a back-to-back. I've been playing for 6 years and I've missed maybe four or five games. So when he can play a whole season without taking a rest, he can come talk to me.
And now that was in response to Joel Embiid.
Yes.
What Joel Embiid said was, no disrespect, but he can't shoot. And that's in regards to Andre Drummond. So it's a fun back and forth. Joel Embiid really always finds a way to say something that you really want to hear.
Yeah, he's a talker, that's for sure. And I come from the era of basketball watching, you know, with the Jordan era Bulls, the Bad Boy Pistons, the big matchups against the Knicks and the Rockets and the Blazers and Showtime Magic era at the end of that. I like it when they don't like each other. That's some fun basketball because you get what you feel is the best out of the players. When everybody's kind of got this buddy-buddy stuff going on and you don't want to offend, blah, 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 blah. It feels soft to me in competition mode, right? That's cool. You can be friends with them after the season or, you know, even after the game, I'm a little iffy on that. You know, I take the Jimmy Butler approach. You're not on the team. You're not coming in the locker room. You're not hanging out. This is a cool guys club only, right? You're just keeping it amongst yourselves. You're focused on your teammates and nobody else that isn't a part of it. That's the competition on the court. I love that fire, that burning desire to win. And I like that spark, right? I mean, when guys are getting after it, it's different. When you play against certain players so many times, you get buddy buddy with them, you tend to lose your edge a little bit, right? It's in human nature to not go as hard sometimes. There's certain guys, you know, the Kobe's, the LeBron's, they'll have certain killer instincts. That's just built into them. That's a rare breed. For the most part, these players, they take it down a notch, right? And I think everybody loses out a little bit.
Yeah, let's kind of moving on, since we're talking about both the Pistons and the Sixers, an article that Bleacher Report posted, NBA teams already regretting their 2017 draft decision. And I think one that we can all safely say is every team that drafted ahead of the Utah Jazz for not taking Donovan Mitchell, maybe with the exception of the Celtics. I think they're pretty big fans of their draft picks.
Well, Bulls, I do think that Lauri Markkanen's looked pretty good so far. I don't know that they're
but the gonna... but the Bulls are on this list, and you know why? Because they traded my guy Jordan Bell.
Yeah, that's
the University of Oregon stud to the Golden State Warriors for cash considerations. And I gotta say, I've seen a lot of negative backlash on it, but Jordan Bell, when he played, I think that when he played the Bulls, he actually did the Johnny Manziel money symbol and said, "How's that cash consideration?" Stunner.
Wow.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Like, throw shade. Honestly, Jordan Bell was one of those guys where you didn't really know 100% if you were going to get this, you know, the guy that we saw at Oregon, how he was going to adapt to the pro ball aspect of things. But he's coming in a no pressure situation. He's learning from Draymond. This guy is going to be incredible for this Golden State Warriors team. And I'm really jealous that the Wolves couldn't pick him up.
Yeah. The rich keep getting richer, don't they?
100%.
If you're every NBA team on draft night, you're mad at the Bulls.
Yeah.
For that.
Yep.
I mean, and you should be. It's so stupid, beyond stupid. Who else is on his list?
Well, Zach Collins, the Atlanta Hawks grab Zach Collins in a trade with the Blazers of 15th and 20th. I think that's a big, or pardon me, the Portland Trail Blazers. I don't know about that. I mean, we all knew that the Trail Blazers had too many assets and too many contracts on the books. So that was tough. The Knicks, of course, are on here. We all know that hype, Frank versus Dennis Smith Jr. LeBron James inserting himself into that conversation.
I really like Nil Aquino, though. I think he's going to be a really good player. It's just he's definitely not ready made, and he's very much the long term play over there. I think with the Knicks, I'm with LeBron in this case. They should have taken Dennis Smith Jr. I think that should have been the no-brainer
pick. I don't know why you wouldn't have. Maybe they were just concerned on the knee.
Or Mitchell. Like, there's just... The Knicks could have done a better job drafting, no question. And I feel like at draft time, we were all pretty sure they were taking Frank Ntilikina. I don't think that was necessarily a surprise. But at the same time, that doesn't mean it was the right pick.
Yeah, here you go. The Milwaukee Bucks selecting DJ Wilson over John Collins.
John Collins has been phenomenal.
He's been really surprising.
Fantasy wise, you really notice it.
Yep.
Yeah. I've been so impressed with him. I like DJ Wilson, though. I think long term, he's probably going to be a solid player, but you know, you're not getting much from DJ Wilson yet.
Well, we shall see. Time will only tell, but a lot of teams kicking themselves for not going after Donovan Mitchell, especially teams that had real chances to pick him. Denver Nuggets. Anyways, that's enough. We want to talk about Markelle Fultz possibly being a bust. Nobody's really happy with him.
That's the crazy thing. Didn't, you know, going to the draft, people were saying that's like your sure thing, right? That's the one guy.
The wildest thing about him is the one thing I love the most was his shooting stroke.
And they messed with it.
Oh my God. The
Sixers messed with it.
Why?
So stupid.
It's unbelievable.
The one guy whose shot you mess with is obviously Lonzo Ball. Everyone else can shoot. We don't need, you know what I mean? Why would you mess with that guy's shot? And it looks bad. Like, now, granted, he's not really playing anymore, but yikes.
Right.
Like it's to watch him try to shoot a free throw was tough.
The Celtics had a home run with Tatum. Between them having the young studs in Brown and Tatum right now, I mean, that future is looking so bright. I would call it so bright. It might be even green, Celtic green out there in Boston, because
it makes it easier to be missing Gordon Hayward when you have those guys that are playing.
They
so
have
well.
Stepped up. I mean, talk about seizing the moment. This is what I'm talking about. This is something that, hey, maybe Justin Patton could come back and seize the moment for us. You never know when that impact can occur. And those are guys, those are prime examples of players, you know, given a little bit of an opportunity and just absolutely running with it. So,
yeah,
kudos to the Celtics. The team is obviously playing fantastic. They had the longest win streak in the NBA. Yes, it was snapped, but they are off to a solid start, especially with the tragic injury to Gordon Hayward.
Yeah, let's move down the line here. Bleacher Report posted on Twitter. This was kind of a cool video to watch. Chris Paul and James Harden having a half court shot competition for $200 after they played the Lakers. Aaron, did you see this video?
I did not see the video, but I seen the post. Break it
it's
down.
Pretty
for
good.
Me.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. So they actually put the money on the center court. Basically, whoever makes it first gets it. James Harden took the first shot, missed. So then CP3 steps up and drains it first. Yeah, shot.
I hope so.
So $200, and it's kind of cool that like they got a bunch of people around like watching them. Money's on the center court, like on the floor itself, and CP3 just drains it, nothing but net.
Someone needs to teach them how to shoot a half court shot, by the way. It's not that hard. I'm telling you, there's an actual art to half court shots. We'll go to the gym sometime and I'll show you guys.
I'm curious. we may need to have a Rob Hess
my
teachable
claim.
Moment.
So does anyone have like a cool like a half court shot story from like a game you played in or a game you saw?
Something tells me you may have one.
Yeah, I got one. So when I was in college, no, this is fun. So obviously, everybody's played 21 before.
Yep.
So the one thing, I don't know if you guys play this way, but sometimes you play with someone that says, you know, you have to prove it once you get to 21.
Yeah.
You got to make that shot, right? So we're playing and my one friend said, well, in order to win this game, you got to make a half court shot. So I got the 21, go to take my half court shot, and I made it. And he goes, well, let's change it up. You got to make two half court shots. So I made next one again.
That's dumb.
Won the game, and the rest is history.
Wow.
And the rest is history that nobody knows about.
Actually, shout out to Blake. You guys know him. Yeah. Blake, the guy at my wedding. He's the one that did it.
That seems like a Blake move.
They told me about that. Yeah, so it's pretty funny. It's pretty funny.
It's cool to see these teams like, you know, having fun off of the after games and whatnot. It's kind of a cool little thing to see.
It adds to the chemistry of your team.
It does.
I like it.
It really does. One more topic here, talking of betting that I want to get into, is NBA is one of those sports that we'll see legalized sports betting very, very soon for. And the NBA is going to somehow make a profit off of this, Rob.
Yeah. The NBA is looking. So the bottom line is it's going to happen sooner than later. It sounds like that they're actually going to legalize sports gambling. So the NBA is looking to be a leader in the space, entering into strategic partnerships, opening the door to major casino sponsorships, and seeing a number of owners invest directly into the sports betting industry. So the bottom line here is that the NBA thinks it's going to be happening, and they're setting themselves up to kind of be the front runners in this.
This is a brilliant move by the NBA. Understanding that there's a need in a market that's already pre-existing, and it's happening with or without them. So it's whether or not they want to capitalize and control the destiny of that said market in terms of their brand and revenues that they can take into the company. There's many issues like this around America that if we put a little bit of economic sense to it, you could take a situation and improve it. I think this is exactly what the NBA will do. Adam Silver is such a progressive commissioner, and I'm so proud to have him be the leader of the NBA because I think he does it with grace, and he does it truly with the best intention for the greater good of the NBA. So kudos to him and his team for doing this.
David Stern was so against it and still is.
And he's, but Stern surprisingly in his age here has came around. It's just, it's different times. You know, you have to take the climate of the situation. Not all big things like this. You can't just, you know, if they would have launched a campaign like this, say 10, 15 years ago, it would have been met with a much different, temperature, right? So it's all about that current climate. I think now is the time. I think it's very easy to see, you know, the financial benefits obviously to the NBA, but then, you know, the people involved, the ancillary parties, the marketers, these types of companies are all going to benefit, and it's going to create jobs, employees, et cetera, et cetera. It's going to happen regardless. So who do you want to have do the sports betting? Do you want it controlled through all these companies that are on the up and up, or do you want to go through your bookie down on A Street? You know, you choose, right? Those guys will still be available, but
they want. So part of the story that they have here is, you know, the NBA, they've remained a plaintiff against, you know, New Jersey, where it had become legal, and they want regulations. That's their big thing. So they're in favor of sports betting. They just want it done correctly. And I'm all for that.
Exactly.
I think eventually if you're going to get it done right, that's the way to do it, is to make sure it's regulated, to make sure that, you know, every state doesn't have its own thing going on. Cause that's kind of where you're at right now. It's like, if you want to gamble on sports, you're basically, it's Vegas. That's kind of the mainstay.
True.
I would love to be able to go to, you know, Mystic Lake or wherever. And I'd love to be able to gamble on a team like the Wolves or wherever.
Right. I mean, another thing is, for instance, you know, remember like online poker rooms, right? You know, you couldn't be an American entity to play online poker. You had to be, you know, out of some island in the Caribbean, like St. Croix.
Up until last year, yeah.
I know, then, but it was
then
so
Vegas
silly.
Legalized it.
It, you know, but of course, again, it's that small economy gets it.
Well, but the way that Vegas did it is, it's off of your ISP address. So that's how they can regulate things, is that these rooms that you can play in check an ISP address. And as long as it's registered to Vegas or that basically that specific
that
area.
County,
I think it's like Clark County, basically. Like then you can play, but it won't let you in otherwise.
That to me is a monopoly, right? I think every state, you know, like Rob is saying, if we want to go to our local Minnesota casino to gamble and place bets, the state of Minnesota should get the money because it's very likely coming from revenues earned in Minnesota. I'd like to see that money keep in there. Lord knows we need road improvements.
Yep.
So, I mean, and a lot of other things.
There's so much money in sports gambling. If you had it in all 50 states, man.
Yeah.
You know,
so that's what I'm saying. I think each state should benefit from their own taxpayers within that state. That's the kind of thing that I look at. But that's enough politics. The fact of the matter is the NBA is progressive. They're trying to do what's best for the NBA. And again, kudos to Adam Silver and his team.
Yeah, absolutely. Props to Adam Silver. Rob, another tweet that we have found is from @NBAMath talking about adjusted offensive and defensive ratings for NBA teams through the time of our recording here. I'm looking at a graph. Now, I was never good at math in high school. I know that graphs are kind of subject to the data that you put on there, but I see the Wolves and it looks like a good number, but kind of give us a little bit more on this numbers.
Yeah. So they go over adjusted offensive and defensive ratings. So 100 is league average for both, higher is better for both. So when you're looking at offensive rating, Wolves are one of the better teams. They're right around 104. They're looking solid. Then you go to the defensive side of things and it's the picture is not painted so pretty. They're down below right around like 95, 97 actually right around 97, I should say, and not great. One of the lowest in the league. And that's, you know, we're right next to the Cavs, the Clippers, the Magic, the Nets. Now, granted, a lot of those teams are pretty bad on the offensive side of things too. Like, in fact, the really the worst team on this list is the Bulls, and it's not real close. They are sitting at about a 97 and a half and a 92. So, you know, offensively and defensively, let's just say they're struggling.
Yeah. And the best team, obviously, in all of this would be.
It's weird because the best team defensively is obviously the Celtics. But if you're looking at almost the best team kind of when you're kind of measuring both, it's pretty much the Rockets.
Yeah. I mean, what 104 adjusted defensive rating, and am I reading this right? 107 adjusted offensive rating.
Well, that's turning defense into offense, man.
And if you look at the teams that are in that, so the key for this, you'd want to be, if you can, your goal is to be in that upper right quadrant of the graph. We're talking Celtics, Jazz, Pistons, Wizards, Raptors, Warriors, Rockets. These are all really good teams. So it's not all that surprising. And then, you know, the Wolves and the Cavaliers are teams that are good offensively and they struggle defensively. So you either are good at both or you're really good at one of the two. And that kind of can offset a little bit at least. So it does a good job of showing you good teams versus bad.
Yeah, it does. And the Wolves aren't far away from that line. I mean, when you look at it, I mean, 3 points.
Well, but that's going to take some time to get back up there.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're pretty far away.
It feels like it's a ways to go, but it doesn't look like it.
Yeah, that's the problem. On paper. Visually, you're thinking it's so close.
Yep.
It's very, you know, it's like you're looking at a map and you're like, oh, it's only an inch away. And you're like, well, yeah, but it's really, you know, 200 miles. So it's kind of tough.
That's how far away we are from being a good defensive team, yeah. Kevin. Just whenever you want to question that, ask yourself, we're 200 miles away from being a good defensive team.
Yeah, that sounds about right for us. Let's get into another topic here, talking about it's another tweet that we're going off of, which seniors in the 2018 WNBA draft class have made the strongest first impressions so far this season. This is an article, that you can find on WNBA.com, and Rob, let's go down this list.
You know, the team that just is overlooked, I think in general, WNBA teams are overlooked. They just are. They're not. And one person that I want to give a shout out to is the Lynx coach, Cheryl Reeve. She has been a big, big proponent of the fact that the WNBA needs to get better coverage. And we here at the Howl agree. And we want to make sure that we give them the proper look that they deserve.
Well, try our best. We want to do our part to the best of our ability.
Exactly. So I think this is a good article. You know, the Lynx are an aging team, whether it's
Maya Moore
is not totally aging. I mean, you've had her for a few years, but like Lindsay Whalen, there's talk she might play another year or two.
Which, first off, before we go further, congratulations to Lindsay Whalen. She's joining Jim Pete and Dave Benz doing some Wolves games.
Yeah, eight
telecasts this season on FSN North, starting with Wednesday's game. So congratulations to Lindsay Whalen.
100%. And she's incredibly intelligent when it comes to the game of basketball and Minnesota product, which you love. The fact that she went to the Gophers. But they've got some aging pieces. Rebecca Brunson's getting up there. So they've got some aging pieces. So I think this is a good article because you're looking at some of the names that obviously Minnesota is going to try to target. The key I always look at when you talk about franchises, I always think of the Patriots. When your stars start to age, you want to have good young talent that's eventually going to replace.
Yep.
And so that's going to be key here. So let's just go over some of these names.
Can I pick my favorite?
Sure.
All right. First one, Kia Nurse from Connecticut. And the couple reasons why I like her game is, first off, she has size. I like the 6-foot guard. I think that's a solid size for a WNBA point guard. And she's been on a winning team. She knows how to play, has that pedigree. I love all of those intangible items that you get when you're a part of a upper tier elite program such as Connecticut. Another key, factor is 3-point shooting. She is elite. You're looking at top 10 in the country in 3-point shooting. And I mean, she just had a game where she went 8 from 8 from three. If I can express to you guys, anybody listening right now, if you go 8 for 8 from three in a basketball game, you are a shooter. And that is bottom line. Like, it's not a fluke that you just went 8 for 8. That doesn't happen on accident. So I think her game translates to the WNBA, and I think she'd be a great fit on, say, a team like the Lynx.
All right.
I will say, if we're going off of good names, I like Victoria Vivians. She's out of Mississippi State, a guard, good size, 6'1". So she's another name to watch. Through 7 games of her senior campaign, she's averaging a career best 18.4 points and shooting career high across the board, 51% from the field, 37.8%, so almost 38 from three, and 80%, just under 81% from the free throw line. So
yeah, a senior player, Mississippi State has a very solid women's program. You know, could contribute right away in the WNBA, is what you're thinking?
Yeah, I think so. Now, granted, reminder, these are all seniors. So
yes,
this doesn't mean these are the only players to watch. These Correct. Are just the senior players to keep an eye on. So a couple other names, Caitlin Flaherty out of Michigan. I will say some nice love for Big Ten teams. Ohio State, Kelsey Mitchell, guard, 5'8". And then UCLA's got a couple players, Jordan Canada, Monique Billings. So there's some nice players on this list. There's definitely some names to watch come draft time.
There really is. Keeping with the bigs, I got to go with Aja Wilson from South Carolina, 6'5" forward from last year's NCAA championship team.
Yep.
I mean, obviously, we know that Connecticut is the team to beat seemingly every season until they are beaten, but South Carolina did it. You know, through 7 games, she's averaging 3.7 blocks per game, almost 24 points, almost 12 rebounds, and South Carolina is 6-1. I think having that kind of presence for this Lynx team would ensure that we continue to make championship runs for a very long time, and would be a great pickup.
Yeah, I agree.
Let's get into a new rule in the NBA, but it doesn't have to do with anything in the game. It is dubbed the LaVar Ball rule. Rob, you want to break down what this rule is, what this rule means?
Sure. So shout out to Chris Haynes of ESPN. He's the one that pointed this out. The Los Angeles Lakers enforcing a post-game policy prohibiting media to interview guests of players after games, which is why, like we said, this is called the LaVar Ball rule at Staples Center. He's just a little too involved. Let's put it that way.
Well, he's just a guy that if you're going to put a mic in front of him, you're going to ask him his opinion, he's going to tell you what's on his mind, right? It's in LaVar Ball's best interest. It's in the big baller brand's best interest for him to talk, because it's publicity, it's mentions, yep, it's brand solidification across the board. It's just nonstop. So, of course, he's going to get free press. He's going to bank off of that. And again, if you ask him a question, you got a microphone, he's probably going to tell you something.
Well, and what the team spokesman said to ESPN, it's not a new policy, it's an existing policy. There's been more media presence in that area than before. That section is strictly for family and guests of players. It's a privacy concern. So that's what they're going with, that it's always been that way. Probably it just wasn't something they had.
Rules are getting bent more. It's getting more pressure. It really makes sense. And I will agree with them that it is a privacy issue. I mean, if I was a father or a family member of a player, I'd probably want to be private about it. Right.
I think it's funny. They go on. He goes, I'm not worried about the LaVar Ball rule. That's LaVar Ball himself said that. He was interviewed recently, LaVar Ball, because of course people won't stop interviewing this idiot. He said in regards to the Lakers coaching staff, they're soft. They don't know how to coach my son. I know how to coach him. I tell him to go get the victory. Stop messing around. Because that's all it takes, right? Just tell a guy to play better, or just tell a guy, hey, I want you to win this game, and the guy's going to go win the game. That's not coaching.
Yeah, go play better.
As someone that's coached for years, I can tell you it takes more than just telling someone to do something. I can't tell you how many times I've told someone they need to box out better, shown them how to box out, and even then they still can't do it. The Wolves are a good example of this. So it's not just about words. There's more to it than that.
Yeah, this is a rule that we shouldn't. That we don't need, but we need to have.
Did you like so I missed this, but Luke Walton, he responded to LeVar Ball's comments about the coaching staff. He said, I will say this. I think that he has done a phenomenal job as a father with Lonzo, because Lonzo is a special young man. He's selfless. He's unselfish. His teammates love him, and he cares about them and plays the game the right way. So he has done a great job with that. But we are not concerned with what parents think of how we are coaching the team. We are contented with the team and what is best for the team and how we can continue to get better. That's all you can really say.
That's great. That's absolutely great. I gotta say, this is a LeVar Ball quote here that makes me laugh in that story. Every time they score 2 3-pointers, it's a game of runs. Don't call timeout, because that means you're scared. You make 2 3-pointers on me, I got 2 more to come. Do the big baller move. Don't call no timeouts. Should Thibs hire LeVar Ball? Because, I mean, Thibs can't draw up a play out of a timeout, it seems like, sometimes.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Maybe just don't call a timeout and do the big baller move. Let's see how it works for the Timber Pups.
Well, it can't get any worse, can it?
Honestly, I don't know if it can. What else we got? Anything else, guys? Let's go into this. I saw this story here, and then we'll wrap up and get into halftime. Tim Cato, who's a staff writer at SB Nation, wrote an article about Jamal Crawford. So Jamal Crawford used to miss corner threes in front of the opponent's bench because he was thinking about what he'd turn around and say. And Tim wrote an article about the relationship between the benches and the corner three shooters. That's a great read if you do get a chance. But basically talks with Jamal Crawford how early in his career he would set up for those corner threes, you know, with, like, you know, the Mavericks bench right behind him, and he'd get a little distracted because, you know, he was thinking about what he would say, and it wasn't necessarily what they were going to do to try to mess him up, but what he would say when he nails it. And so it kind of brings that relationship between the two of, you know, what's the bench going to say to me, but what am I going to say to the bench?
Yeah. Yeah. I always appreciate, did you guys ever see the game where Shabazz hit like 6 threes against the Jazz? And after one of them, he turns to the bench and gives them the three goggles.
Yep.
And stuff like that. So I always kind of appreciate the look to the bench after a big three. But you can't, you know, to the point about Jamal Crawford, you can't kind of get it in your head and plan what you're going to say necessarily if it's going to interrupt your flow, you know?
Yeah. And they actually go and they interview Jason Terry on it as well. And he talks about one example of when he was guarding Peja Stojakovic. He goes, Stojakovic hit one in the corner on us and we were all standing up. I swear I could have touched him that close. Did not affect him whatsoever. And it actually did the opposite. It pumped him up.
Yeah, I think that's, I appreciate that. I think it's funny.
Money Peja Stojakovic. So yeah, it's on SB Nation. It's a great read if you get a chance. Is that what
they call him? Money Peja?
Well, no, they call him Stinky Stojakovic.
Yeah, okay, I was going to say, it's Stinky Stojakovic.
But I like Money Peja. Okay. Rob, you found an article.
Yeah, that's something actually that just popped up
here, yep, for us.
Shout out to Shams with Yahoo. But sources, LaMelo and LiAngelo Ball are exploring options to play professionally overseas. So if for anyone that isn't aware, LiAngelo obviously was suspended, and they actually parted ways officially today, which I guess I had missed out on that. But LiAngelo's 19, LaMelo, the younger brother, which a lot of people think he's really good. He's going to be really, yep, good down the road. He's just 16 years old. But the decision to turn pro means the end of their prospective collegiate careers. LaMelo Ball has previously committed to UCLA. That's what they mentioned here. But that's a story to watch. Not so much for LiAngelo, because, you know, my understanding is that at this stage, at least, no one's even looking at him as pro.
Yeah.
Even his dad said that.
Woj tweeted that like it'd be even hard for him to be like a G League guy at this point.
Yeah, which he's not real big. He's a good shooter, but he's got a long ways to go. I think going to play overseas is probably the right call, and maybe fine tune your game. And maybe at some point he can and join the pros.
Well, guys, here's this from Woj. LiAngelo Ball has no chance that he'll be drafted in June. And that was true before his shoplifting incident in China. He's not on any of our scouting lists, even the extended list. And this was told to Woj from a GM source in the NBA. Yeah. And I couldn't agree more. I mean, I watch him play the couple times I've seen him play, like they played an exhibit game. He was just chucking threes. I mean, anybody can do that. I didn't see anything special about his basketball game that would said this guy's an NBA player.
Correct.
Doesn't have Although a vertical. Mello
is a different story. And the decision to go play pro, I think it's kind of cool. I'm interested to see that because that's kind of that Ricky Rubio route. Now it's different because Rubio wasn't, you know, here in the States where, you know, you play high school, this and that, you go to college. But I'm interested to see what he does. I would like to watch LaMelo go play pro. I want to see how that works because a lot of people think he could end up being the most like the best one of the three.
I don't think it's going to work too good for him.
Have you seen him? I mean, he's not really built to play pro at this stage. Now, granted, most 16-year-olds aren't, you know, LeBron James is one of those few guys that even as a child has this like pro body.
Man child. Yeah. LaMelo, unfortunately, isn't gifted with a man child's body. So it'll be interesting to see. Time always does tell. I've said that before.
Yep.
So, you know, we'll see how it goes.
That does it for the first half show. Stay tuned for the second half show coming later this week on iTunes, Stitcher, or anywhere great podcasts are found.